ABC Home Service. We present Dot by Ed Harris.
When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing.
It's a ghastly, ghastly world, Myrtle, and it's only getting ghastlier.
Oh, no, I had to walk through the rubble of three of my neighbours' houses this morning to get to work. Shaved a couple of minutes off the journey.
But, you know, it's not always about that, Dottie.
Not that, Myrtle. I meant them, the powers that be. I've had Lord Beaverbrook haranguing me about transport to and from Chequers for some impromptu war talk and drinks event this evening. Apparently we have to stop in Knightsbridge to help him find his cummerbund. And Bomber Johnson needs us to ensure his wife is nowhere near the Midlands tomorrow.
Dames, eh?
Oh, yes, and Peabody's asked that I teach him how to achieve an outside line on the telephone.
Someone's digging in for a long walk.
It's frightful. I shouldn't be covering Millicent's border collie duties at all. We ought to be doing timesheets, not rounding up and herding aristocrats from one dinner to the next.
Milky, Milky, yes, him all over. He couldn't see a belt without punching beneath it.
Mercy!
Sir!
Oh, at ease, old girl.
Good afternoon, ladies.
Now, in the dark ages, this salty dog and I schooled together back at St. Horribly Vulture's School for Boys. We were once boarded up in the same cupboard for misbehaviour, weren't we, old cove?
Wouldn't change it for the world.
Oh, it was riotous good fortune on my part. Why, when you were first boarded up with me, I'd been, gosh, it's hard to say, in there a week, two?
I'd clean forgotten.
It's a marvel. My spine still extends to a near vertical upright.
Well, it's certainly splendid to meet you, sir.
For my sins, it's Father Grim Ribbling. Charmed.
Oh, really?
Yes. In peacetime, I was one of those crime-solving members of the clergy. Tit about in the countryside till someone clogs it, bosh a bunch of clues together, and Bob's mon uncle. Usually a spurned lover, sour butler, or a snubbed heir handling the food.
Marvellous way to see the country.
Marvellous. Still, with total war afoot, alas, no one's interested in quaint village murders anymore. I've had to diversify. A chaplain for the 8th Army. More murder, less some mystery.
The 8th has had his collective arse somewhat whooped of late, hasn't it?
Well, it's not like it was in the colonies.
Quite. The Germans have pistols and all sorts. Oh, the colonies.
Innocent times. But listen, I must admit I have an ulterior motive for dropping by.
Ulterior? Marvellous.
Regretfully, I've only 24 hours until my boat leaves for Africa, so it's all a little choco. And I rather wanted to see any light reading intelligence may have on a couple of chaps in my regiment, Majors Tompkinson and Blatherskite.
Steamed clams! You don't think you've a couple of snakes in the grasses, old man?
Well, but the Krauts seem to anticipate all our manoeuvres. It's as if we can't visit the latrines without the Germans first skipping off with all the paper. So I've my beady eye on these two jobbies.
Tompkinson and Blatherskite.
Mm-hmm.
I shall contact military intelligence at once, Father.
I say, this isn't an opportunity for Ribbers and One Pair cupboard detectives, is it?
Ribbers and...
Call Ribbers and One Pair if someone steals the silverware. No? Nothing? Probably me being awful. You can't be expected to remember every little defining moment of our childhoods. Anyway, point is, if our head of personnel here can bring the person files, I'll be your assistant, old chap.
That's forcibly kind of you, One Pair, but I couldn't possibly. I have an assistant. Young Dobble. He's following on behind with my cases. Should roll into Paddington in a couple of hours.
No. Why, Dottie can pick him up and take him straight to the hotel. Meanwhile, you and I can open our casebook one final time before the old school bell peals its miserable last.
Well, I do worry if young Dobble's not showing a little wear and tear. He's the, bookish type. Never happier than when he has a book of effete poetic dross in one hand and an oozing buttered crumpet in the other.
Then it's decided. Give the oily little bookworm the night off, and I'll dig out my old magnifying glass.
Absolutely certain I won't be tearing you away from vital war work, One Pair?
Not really. I think the whole war thing's a bit of a lost cause either way, old boy. Hoist the white flags and don the brown shirts, I say.
Sir!
Gosh, where was I?
I'll tell you where. Chapter the first of Ribbers and One Pair Covered Detectives at long last.
Oh, Grim Ribbling! Pop a teabag in me and have me with Garibaldi's. Peabody's come to the boil.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying yes, old goose,
yes. Oh, the last 50 years have been slow, but it doesn't matter now, because you're back, Rivers. Back.
We're back, old chap.
Now go and put thine feet up in my office, and we'll have those files with you, PDFQ.
Thank you, old boy. Thank you.
Hear that? Chase down the records of those two skulking turncoats and bring them to my office. Lickety-split. Grimribling's boat leaves for Africa at noon tomorrow, and I want these intervening hours to be the most quantifiably halcyon of his life.
I'll make a note of it, sir.
Make this your priority. Clear my diary and have your minions field all my telephone calls. Then you wait at Paddington for this Dobble chap and take him to the Metropole directly. Yourself.
But,
not
sir...
Not the Scottish one, not the Hieronymus Bosch one. You. You heard Grimribling. He and I are a gang now, Dorothy. I'm in a gang.
We're all rooting for you, sir.
Goodyphips!
Hear that, Myrtle?
It's mostly just background noise for me, really, boss.
Good. Your evening's cancelled. You're to wait at Paddington Station for this Dobble fellow and take him directly to the Metropole. No stops, no scenic routes.
What'll you be doing?
Dealing with Lord Beaverbrook's wayfaring cummerbund and Mrs. Johnson's bloodhounding strumpet hunt. Tell me, Myrtle, do you think there'll ever be a time Britain isn't simply a crash for its aristocracy?
Another top?
That's enough of the devil's armpit water to drown the home counties. Well, at least up to South Mimms. these files on the, Tompkins and Butterly Bite.
Oh, don't worry about them, old boy. Here, drinky pools.
It says here they came up through the Royal Military Academy. Distinctions. Gosh, that is a large glass, Rivers. But not too large for a... I'm a fella now, so...
Dummy, do you remember why I was cupboarded with you in the first place?
Well, of course I remember. You sank the rowing team.
Oh, yes, I threw a new boy off St. Sherlock's Bridge.
Took out the whole team like a clutch of skittles. Ruptured the boat.
Oh, you remember?
Yes. Old Mr. Garsley dedicated an entire assembly to how tomfoolery is a gateway foolery to far deadlier horseplays. And it's also how I ended up with that dink in my cranium, remember?
Is that it there?
I'm sure I deserved it. Awful little do-gooder, no doubt. But I learned my lesson. I never let on it was you who threw me in.
You were bowling ball Bertie. You know, I never joined the darts.
That's why I was so unctuous and slimy when they finally caught you and boarded you up with me.
Oh, I thought that was just your way, sort of cloying and needy, isn't it?
No, I was desperately scared. Well, I'm normally a pillar, a colossus amongst... I'm a full adult now, with a real-life moustache and a pension and everything.
Bedwetter, weren't you?
One man in his time plays many parts. But now, these files, Majors Tommy Roth and Bridlington Spark, where's my magnifying
glass? Oh, drink up, Peabody.
old times, eh? It's like nothing's changed.
Nothing has, one pal. Nothing has. Another top.
Hell's peddlers, Dorothy.
Ah, Millicent, shall I pop on a pot?
Oh, don't play that giddy goose with me.
The giddy goose? Millicent, dear, please, you're being hysterical.
He's dead.
Beaverbrook? Was it the cummerbund? Was it too tight?
Beaverbrook? Lord, no, Dotty. Dobble.
Dobble? The sheeshy little bookworm chap they were talking about? He sounded as feeble as he did depressing.
He topped himself.
Oh, hell, was he important? I didn't know. I mean, that's why I sent Merce.
Peabody told me he instructed you, as head of personnel, to make Dobble your priority.
And I did, Dick.
Well, I'm now off to coax Rivers and One Pair from their heavily intoxicated slumbers and break them the sorry news that he's dead. So, thank you, Dotty. I'm supposed to be driving Lord Eden to Tunbridge to have his pocket squares re-angled.
Ghastly woman.
Morning, Dotty.
Peg. Peg.
What?
I think I messed up.
How?
I think I sent Myrtle to kill someone.
What?
hell, I know she's depressing, but you weren't in, and I was ferrying come-up-bunded walruses between here and Aylesbury. A man killed himself, Peg.
You think Myrtle did that?
I was alone with her for 8 hours yesterday, and I spent 4 of them trying to choke myself to death on a paperclip.
Hello, Peg! Hello, Dottie! What a beautiful morning.
I'll admit she doesn't look like she's pushed someone over the edge.
I think I'd expect something more sort of blood-curdling and ominous, and not something with so much croissant down her shirt.
It's not croissants, actually. It's psoriasis. I got a note from me, Mum.
Shut up, Myrtle. Peg, watch the door. If you see anyone...
I'll make the noise of an owl.
Better still, as we're in an office...
Oh, a hole punch.
Or even just mention it with your mouth and words.
On it.
Now, Myrtle, something very, very bad has happened. The gentleman you met last night...
Father Grim Ribbling's assistant.
Yes. Were there any complications in taking him to the hotel? Did anything unusual happen?
Nothing. We took the key from reception and I walked him up to his room, thanked him for an enchanting night and I went straight home.
Enchanting night?
Well, he looked sad, didn't he? I didn't want him to think I'd totally written him off.
Myrtle, Lieutenant Dobble has killed himself.
All right, so it's my fault for turning him down. Why is it always the woman's fault?
Myrtle, pay attention. Was there anything else? He didn't say anything peculiar, did he?
Oh, yeah, actually. He kept bringing up the war.
Yes, but that's in the context of a war, Myrtle. That's... doesn't matter. There was nothing else. Myrtle, please. Peabody thinks I was the last person to see Dobble alive. They'll have questions. You must have something for me.
There was something, Nod.
What?
As he said goodbye, he said if he wasn't on the boat with Father Grim Ribbling at noon tomorrow, which is now today because that's how time works, he said, if I'm not on the boat, you'll find my thoughts lingering in the yellow fog.
Then...
I pulled my collar up, crossed the road, stopped under the streetlight to spark up a cigarette, looked back to see Dobble as a silhouette closing the curtains, and then flicked me fag away and walked off screen, all dishevelled and moody-like.
At least you followed official protocol. Good. Now, go to your desk and shake the psoriasis from your shirt into the bin.
Oh, I'm sorry if I don't live up to your impossible body standards. Who died and made you every advertisement ever?
You look like a thumped volleyball. Oh, great. Pissy hell.
Why don't you just tell the truth?
Tell the truth? Are you insane? We're at work, Peg. These people aren't our friends.
Kerchunk, kerchunk.
What?
Hole punch.
Quick, back to your desk. Tits and teeth, Peg. No, better still, just do your work.
Dorothy, old Ben.
Father, I'm so terribly sorry.
It oughtn't to be a surprise. Dobble was so often banging on about being gutless and ineffectual... But I simply never thought he'd be man enough to do anything about it. Peabody said you escorted dear old Dobble to the hotel. That's kind.
Don't mention it, Father.
I telegrammed High Command and Under the Cirques. They've extended my leave until midnight. So before old One Pair comes to, perhaps you wouldn't mind playing assistant?
Me, sir? But what about Peabody?
I need to see Dobble's room. I would so love to understand his final moments.
And then I took a few steps and stopped. Gosh, there's so many lampposts. Well, I imagine it was this one. So, here. Then looked back. Presumably it was over this shoulder. Yes, it was the right shoulder. Do you think that's important?
Simply continue your account, old girl.
Yes, Father. Stopped. Saw Dobble closing the curtains.
Which window?
Gosh, it's hard to... It was definitely the right shoulder, though.
Interesting. Do you mind if I perch on this bench in a manner that intones an avuncular and candid quality?
Please, I insist.
Dorothy, Dobble suffered from terrible night terrors. It could be bright as rain during the day, but as twilight drew in, Dobble would usually excuse himself and find some quiet spot to go and stare out at the world and scream his melancholy, blood-curdling screams.
Father, are you absolutely certain nothing could have inadvertently nudged him minutely over the edge?
In what sense, old girl?
I only wonder if perhaps Dobble had met someone so frightful, so unspeakably life-sapping, and not just that, but really annoying.
Impossible. He only met you, and you're clearly a peach.
Well, mayhaps.
If you think there's a problem, I ought to contact my commanding officer and request extended leave in order to investigate further.
No, absolutely not. I'm certain there's no greater waste of the wall's resources.
Then, case closed?
Quite.
The lass, the fat lady, has sung.
The cat's back in the bag.
Pardon?
The cat lady's sung. I did that one again. Very sad. Thank you for this talk, dear girl. I shall now unperch.
Oh, may I...
And never worry. I'm certain the only impact you had on Darling Double was as a final vision of loveliness before he ultimately signed off.
Gosh, and you're a priest, so you can't lie, can you?
Shall we take a stroll, old girl? Before, alas, I wend back warwards with a parting wave to old London town.
Here, take my arm. Oh, so did you have any luck with Tomkinson and Blatherskite, old chap?
Who?
The two majors I brought you files on last night, Father. Did you have any success?
Success is knowing when you're beaten, old girl. Maybe I've lost a knack, but either they're two dastardly, turpitudinous, Nazi spies with an incredible gift for disguise, or they're just two gits I've been wasting my time on. Methinks the latter. Shall we go by the river?
Peg, do you know anything about yellow frog?
I knew a yellow frog once. Well, I say I knew, I mean... How well can you know a frog? Well, I saw it. It saw me. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's about the extent of it with animals, isn't it?
It's just something Double said. If I'm not on the boat, you'll find my thoughts lingering in the yellow fog.
Ugh, that's just so pretentious. Yellow fog indeed. Pshaw, Myrtle. Pshaw, Millicent. Oh, hello, Millicent.
What's this?
Apparently something this Double said last night. Yellow fog.
Oh, wait. Is it like red tide?
Oh, got it. Oh, it's blooming thingy, what's it, mustard gas.
Oh,
well done, Myrtle. That's much better than what I had.
What did you have?
The yellow fog that rubs its back on the window panes licked its tongue into the corners of the evening. It's poetry.
What's it about?
I'm given to believe all poetry is about the same thing, not getting laid. It's T.S. Eliot about some tiresome, cringing little man who gosh, now I remember why I came in. Have either of you seen the Air Marshal?
No.
Alas... I'll find him. Myrtle, be a brick and fire these. Incidentally, what's that in your pocket?
Psoriasis. We are all made from stardust, Miss Hilary Hilary Jones. And I don't care what Dot says. I'm not spooning great chunks of me into a bin like an ape.
Peg, would you mind filing these?
Will do, Miss Hilary Hilary Jones. I think I've had an idea. Maybe we should pay a little visit to this T.S. Eliot, eh, Myrtle?
Double's room at the Metropole.
Much better. Maybe we should pay a little visit to this Double's room at the Metropole Hotel, eh, Myrtle? Come on, I'll explain the car. Let's go.
Can you explain why we've got a car?
I'll explain on the bicycle. Let's go.
Nothing tempers the spirit like a riverside promenade and a foggy, moonless twilight in old London town, huh?
I don't suppose it's quite the same in North Africa.
I don't know. Sometimes I stand by the latrines and just breathe it all in. But yes, as of midnight tonight, I'll be pushing through the cold, black waters back to the glare and gloom of the front.
It's so ghastly that I took Double to the Metropole. If he'd been with you all night, well, this whole sorry saga may have been averted.
Oh, don't blame yourself, old girl. It all came out in a wash.
He's dead, Father.
Oh, yes. Do I infer a tremulous wrinkle of misgiving around the events of last night, Dorothy?
Not in the least, Father. I simply have so much to do back at the office.
Then, old girl, why the slight tremor in your voice? As well as the visual clues, it may be helpful if I list. Trembling hands, erratic blinking, moisture collecting on your top lip. There may be more, but as we've established, it's dark.
Gosh, you can see straight through me, can't you, Father?
Quite so, old thing. I know when someone's onto me.
Onto you, Father? No, no, you're confused. You're onto me. You see, it was so busy yesterday, I sent money...
Oh, no, my clever birdie. Enough of these games, I insist. You are onto me.
Well, I shan't argue.
Here we are, room 237.
Shh! We're not meant to be in here. What if we got caught? We'd have beaten up those chambermaids for nothing.
You check the drawers. I'll search the bed. Right.
Gosh, Millie may have been onto something. Here, by his bedside, a small collection of poetry, open on the very page. The yellow fog that rubs its back on the window panes lingered upon the pools that stand in drains. Did Dobble give you any kind of signal at all? Anything, Myrtle, think.
I couldn't see. He was just a silhouette. At the window. Pigs, the window!
The spots linger in the drain, Myrtle.
Tight to the gutter, Daniel.
Get it.
Oh, it's just small poems.
No, Myrtle, not so crestfallen. It could be officious reports. February 5th. Father Grim Ribbling, suspected Nazi collaborator, briefing Axis forces ahead of manoeuvres.
Trying to frame Majors Tomkinson and Blatherskite.
Here, look. Only hope G doesn't discover I'm on to him before I can report to 8th Army High Command. Misspelled.
Brilliantosaurus Rex! But how could Grim Ribbling have killed Dobble when he was with the Air Marshal all night? What?
There's somebody at the door.
Oh, Pickles.
Oh, Bertie.
Tell me, old girl, when were your suspicions first aroused?
Well, possibly it was the first time you cocked that pistol, Grim Ribbling.
I imagine you suspected something from the very beginning. You knew Majors Tomkinson and Featherskite were a ruse to get Peabody alone.
Oh?
And with Peabody to myself, I had the makings of a perfect alibi. As soon as he was passed out on whiskey and interminable nostalgia, I shot out of there like a fox out of a cannon and straight to the Metropole Hotel.
You killed Dobble.
But you knew that already, didn't you, Detective Dottie? Mm-hmm. Dobble was attached to me a year ago. Only High Command ever knew he was a plant, until I figured it out. And then it was simple. Back to Blighty on leave, fanny about casting aspersions on Tomkinson and Blatherskite, then kill Dobble and make it look like a suicide.
Oh, buttered asses. I've read the entire day wrong.
Don't fret, Dottie. Tomorrow your bullet-sprayed body will wash up on the banks of the Thames, just another unfortunate victim of London's blackout-related traffic accidents.
Well, if I'm to die either way... Yes, why not? I was on to you from the first bally moment, Father Grim Ribbling.
Welly, well, well. As I thought. Quite the clever... pen-pushing, typewriter-pinging, desk-sitting, and head of personnel, aren't we? I suppose bureaucratulations are in order. Hip, hip, who done it?
Drop that pistol, Grim Ribbling.
Peabody.
That's right. Stepping out from the shadows under the bridge and cocking his own pistol. Peabody! Why did you do it, Father Grim Ribbling? Was this something your God made you do?
God? The only God I require is my racial purity and ancestral bloodlines, which I will defend against the vermin hordes with my life.
It's true, then. You are a Nazi collaborator. Oh, come on, Peabody. Look at what this miserable little island has become. Pulling together, tolerating difference, finest hours. We didn't build an empire on equal terms. We fought and fought to the bloody top and then started kicking downwards. Oh, remember the colonies, Peabody.
Don't listen to him, sir.
Join us, Peabody. It can be simple again. You knew where you stood when you stood on everybody else.
No, get out of my head. Get out of my head.
Whereas these days, it's like white men aren't allowed to behave like drunk toddler gods anymore.
You're right. They don't know what the rules are anymore.
That's it, Peabody. Tell me about the goalposts.
Well, they keep changing, don't they?
Exactly. We never change the goalposts if we were still in charge, would we? They would stay the same forever and ever and ever.
Must pull trigger. Too weak.
Air Marshal!
Well, this has been a jolly reunion. And that was the last time I'm going to cock this pistol. Say goodbye, Dorothy. Peabody. 3.
Goodbye, old girl.
Two.
Goodbye, sir.
What's this? Who are these two bicycling towards us? One of them is grabbing something from her pocket. It's...
Have you?
My eyes! I can't see! What is this? Psoriasis!
Myrtle!
That's right. And Peg would like some credit, too.
But, girls, how did you find us?
Simple. Peabody.
That's right, Private Delamore. You see, I've always been a desperately cloying type of friend, and it's very much in my nature to skulk about, sadly, following the footsteps of the friends I wrongly idolize, as outlined in one of those long expositional chats we had at the beginning. It was only a matter of time before I was feebly creeping up to Dobble's room to find some clues ahead of Dotty in order to usurp her as Grimribbling's new assistant, where I ran into these two. But of course, Dotty, old girl, you already knew that, didn't you?
Well, luck played its part.
I hope there's room for a distinguished combat medal on your chest, amongst all that dashed false modesty you're wearing, what?
Sir!
Wait, where is Grimribbling?
Look, he's making a break for it.
I'll get you next time, Peabody!
Quick, sir, he's getting away!
Oh, let him. I have a funny feeling that won't be the last time we see Father Grimribbling.
One possibly spoke too soon, sir.
But who? How?
Gosharama Millicent, you utter goddess!
Well, one dabbles.
But how did you find us?
Well, my suspicions were first aroused when I discovered half the war rooms almost totally unoccupied, and a lot of people not at their desks. After that, it was simple.
Well, that's that tied up.
Huzzah!
I imagine you'll fill us in on all the spurious details on the walk back, won't you, Miss Hillary Jones? Come on then all, back to the war rooms for Mrs. Vermincake's freshly baked buttery biscuits and lashings of boiled eggs. Dorothy, walk ahead with me so it's clear that temporarily at least, you're my favoured employee.
Gosh, thank you, sir.
No, thank you, Dorothy.
Gniffits.
Dot by Ed Harris, Dot was played by Fenella Woolgar, Myrtle by Kate O'Flynn, Peg by Freya Parker, and Millicent by Jane Slavin. Air Marshal Peabody was played by David Acton, and Father Grimribbling by Stephen Hogan. The director was Sasha Yevtushenko.
When you're up to your neck in hot water...